When you have questions about guns, the shooting sports, or your rights, where do you turn? Do what the pros do. When they have questions, they go to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. Tom hosts several programs on the Outdoor Channel, is a noted book author and magazine editor, and he hosts the first and only national talk radio show pertaining to these issues. You can participate by calling 1-800-TALK-GUNS and join us in the chat room at guntalk.com. Now, prepare yourself for a no-nonsense, straightforward approach to firearms and related topics. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk.
And locked and ready to talk. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, brought to you by the Outdoor Channel.
Woo-wee, am I kicked off? Hey, welcome again. I'm Tom Gresham. Glad you could join us. It's Gun Talk. Yes, indeed. But, you know, sometimes we talk about more than guns, and are we going to be doing that right now? Let me tell you. My deal here is real simple. People sometimes say, well, do you have a knife on you? I say, well, if I'm wearing pants, I have a knife on me. It's real simple. And often, two knives. In fact, I've just got in here, spent the last week walking around the flight line at the big Oshkosh fly-in, and I carry two knives with me the whole time. Why would you carry two knives? Because sometimes you need to loan a knife to people. Although, it's a bad idea to loan people knives, because sometimes they don't remember where they got them. But that's okay. I was carrying two knives around. I'm a knife guy. I'm a gun guy. I'm a knife guy. I think there's a pretty strong correlation. Well, something interesting has happened, and there's a reason I'm going to be talking about knives, because there's a real interesting correlation between knives and guns. The Wall Street Journal this week ran an article, and it was, if not the opening shot, the opening salvo, it was the first high-altitude bombing run on knife ownership. It was an assault on knife owners. It was the typical hack assault piece, and it talked about tactical knives. Tactical knives are those terrible things that you could actually open with one hand. You know, a lot of us call those rescue knives. You're holding on to something or somebody with one hand, and you need a knife, and you can grab it with your other hand, and you can open the blade without having to use two hands. To me, that's a smart design. That's a rescue knife. And yet, here we have the Wall Street Journal saying, well, you know, these things are tactical knives. And you know, we just discovered you could actually kill people with a knife. Well, hello. I mean, I guess you could have asked, like, the Romans about that. They had that thing figured out. And so they do this entire piece, and it is pretty stunning, because those of us who have been involved in this battle on the firearm side, if you see this article, you would recognize it instantly. It is the same article that's been run for the last 30 years, basically. All they did was change the word gun to knife, where we have been seeing all this blather for 15 years about so-called assault weapons. Now they've come up with the term tactical knife. And once again, the industry, in this case the knife industry, much as the firearms industry did before, has given them all the buzzwords that they need. The gun industry basically gave them the term assault weapon, which was dumb. And the knife industry has given them the term tactical knife. And so I tell you, things changed this week for knife owners and for the knife industry. Because 4 years there have been a little bit of, you know, this and that, little local articles about knives. Well, here we have a whole article talking about these knives are easily concealed, they are unregulated, and they can be opened with a flick of a thumb faster than you could open a switchblade. And of course, what they're doing is calling for regulation of easy opening knives. Well, I don't know if you carry a knife. I don't know if you use knives. But, you know, it's exactly the same thing. If you say, well, gee, these knives are easy opening. Well, how about a fixed blade knife? It's always open. How about a kitchen knife? How about a fillet knife? I mean, give me a break. But let me tell you, there is a connection that goes even farther on this deal. And that is, England, as we saw, was kind of the launching ground for a lot of the gun control laws that we ended up with in the United States, and still for a lot of gun control laws that the gun banners would like to pass here. Well, England now has knife control laws, and they publish articles there about knife crime, just as you hear the term gun crime here. This is all coming out of the same witch's brew of utopian, I would call it fascism. I mean, these are people who simply want to make you live the way they want you to live, whether or not there's any merit, any reason. And in point of fact, they want you to be less safe. They want you to be dependent upon them. Tell you what, when we come back, we're going to be talking to the president of one of the largest knife companies in the country. And we'll take your calls and comments. If you have any thoughts on this, give us a shout. 866-TALK-GUNS. 866-TALK-GUNS. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk.
This portion of Gun Talk is brought to you by Marlin. Built in America by American craftsmen since 1870. For generations, American sportsmen have made Marlin rifles their first choice for putting meat on the table. Strong, accurate, and solidly dependable. Marlin rifles set today's standard for quality and reliability. See your Marlin dealer and choose the rifle that's made right for you. Marlin, when you've hunted long enough for the best.
Taurus Millennium pistols feature lightweight, ease of use, and reliability. Now add raw 45 caliber power to that with the incredible PT-145, a subcompact auto with a full 10-round magazine. The PT-145 has a manual safety, the Taurus security system, and a great price. Only 23 ounces, the polymer frame, double action, only PT-145 is the best value in a compact 45. And you can get it with night sights. Check out the PT-145 at TaurusUSA.com.
Browning has been the leader in auto-loading shotguns from the very beginning, starting 90 years ago with John M. Browning's famous Auto 5. But Browning designers haven't been sitting still. Their new model, the Gold, redefines what a gas-operated shotgun should be. In wing shooting, feel is the key, and the Gold flies to the shoulder with a liveliness never before seen in an autoloader. The shorter, lighter weight receiver puts the balance between the hands, where the top shooters want it. And the short piston stroke makes for an extremely clean shooting gun. The Browning Gold adjusts automatically to any load, from 1-ounce target ammo to heavy 3-inch magnums. And unlike some 20s which are built on a heavy 12-gauge frame, the Gold 20 is a true 20-gauge, using its own smaller action. Of course, all Gold shotguns exhibit the high quality and attention to detail that shooters everywhere have come to expect from Browning. Discover the new standard, the Gold standard in auto-loading shotguns. Check out the Gold 12 and 20 at your local Browning dealer.
Hey, want to get that huge Brownells catalog for free? Now you can get this source for parts, cleaning products, gunsmith supplies, and tools for just a phone call. Brownells is famous for selection, service, and satisfaction. Tell them you heard about it on Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, and they'll send it to you for free. Call 1-800-741-0015. 1-800-741-0015. 1-800-741-0015. The Brownells catalog for free. 1-800-741-0015.
Yeah, baby. Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham here. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. You know, if you know anything about knives, you've probably heard of the name Benchmade. In fact, when I say I was carrying two Benchmade knives. I had the large Doug Ritter signature version and the small one. The large one's black, the yellow one's yellow. The small one's yellow. I like knives that have colored handles that aren't black. I don't know, just a thing of mine. I kind of like to have a purple AR-15 too, so I don't know what that says about me. We probably shouldn't go there. Les Deasis is the president of Benchmade. Les, I sure appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon out your way. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This article in the Wall Street Journal, you know, if it's in a local paper, it's one thing. If it's in the Wall Street Journal, it starts getting picked up, and I guess the reverberations are bouncing all over because, you know, different media look at that and go, oh, hey, here's a cool news story. We haven't thought of that. Oh, here's an evil thing we can rail against. Are you seeing that?
We're hearing that some smaller newspapers are picking them up and off the wires. But just this morning I read about a newspaper that took that particular article and inserted even more accusations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're going to go one better than that.
They're on a roll.
Well, and like I say, this having been in the firearms business, you know, industry, not selling guns, but writing about them for 35 years or so, this is exactly what I've seen. The verbiage is the same, the tone, the slant, the sly innuendo, the way they put it together. Well, you know, these things, they're selling them by the millions, and they're totally unregulated, as though they should be. It's kind of like they take the position, well, of course these should be regulated. And I want to say, well, of course we should all carry knives, and if you're not carrying one, what's wrong with you? So, you know, I guess the question is, have you seen this thing coming? Did you have any inkling?
Well, I think being a manufacturer and an employer, we have to look at all sides of the business. And one of the things that we need to do is be responsible. And we're responsible to our customers, both at the consumer level, the knife users, as well as our dealer network. And, you know, we run our business in a very responsible manner. And a lot of the attributes that the author had taken towards this type of product translates to us as product that you can depend on, that is robust, and has all the characteristics of an excellent tool.
Well, you know, in the article, it's interesting. A couple of the things that they set up to be bad things are the things that you and I would take as being excellent qualities for a knife. They say, well, you know, these things have locking blades and ergonomic handles. I'm thinking, well, yeah, if anybody's ever used a knife that didn't have a locking blade and had that knife blade fold on them, I can show you the scars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
I agree. I've got them too.
So, you know, come on, locking blades is a good thing. An ergonomic design, it means it fits your hands. And yet they find a way to put a not just a bad spin, but almost an evil, sinister spin to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because the knives are man's oldest tools, and certainly one of the oldest tools next to the rock. And it's interesting to me that we have to build products that are stable, that are ergonomically friendly, because of the myriad uses of any tool.
Mm-hmm.
And we can even talk about something as simple as a screwdriver. What is that being used for other than driving screws?
Well, excellent point. You know, I don't know if I could get through the day without having a knife. And anytime I don't have one with me, I feel like partially naked. It's just wrong not to have a knife with you. You know, as you say, it's our oldest. Give us, if you would, a little background on Benchmade. And you're the founder, right?
I am.
So how did it get started? And I guess the really important question is why?
I was unhappy with products that were available, and built a knife that went back to my father's Filipino heritage. And I built a knife. It ended up being a custom knife, and I took it into a gun dealer of some friends of ours in North Hollywood, California. And they asked me, "Where'd you get that?" And I said, "I built it." And they said, "Ooh, do you think you could build about 100 of them?" And my hobby is. Began an explosion into a business.
Well, you have quite the company and some wonderful products. For those that don't know, if they're not familiar with it, on the web it's Benchmade, just Benchmade, Benchmade.com. And you know, you have a bunch of, it's funny, as we were getting ready for this show, I was talking to Michael, who's in the studio here, and he says, "Yeah, well, I'm carrying this," and he showed me his knife. He says, "Well, I've got about, I don't know, 50 or 60 knives. I bet you a lot of people who are, if you're not into that, you don't even know that there are knife collectors."
That's right. That's right. We see in our warranty cards every day customers that are replacing either other brands or even current Benchmades with another knife. And oftentimes in the comment section, they'll list that they have a dozen or several dozen knives, and their collection spans their life from their Boy Scout days on through military and their current professions.
Well, you know, it occurs to me that a knife is not only utilitarian, it is very much a platform for technological innovation as well as a canvas for artistry.
That's right. That's right. And consumers these days are becoming much more knowledgeable about products of every type of tool, the materials, function, reliability, design, materials. Everything is being driven hard by what the consumers demand, and any particular business has to satisfy their consumers, and that is a fertile area for innovation.
So what now? I mean, I'm looking at this article as being kind of one of the a real change in the way this thing's being approached, because I think you're going to see a lot of media pick this up, and it may not be all at once. It may happen over the months, and then you'll see another round of it. And once they get their claws into clever little buzzwords like tactical knives, we all thought it was cute and clever when they picked up the term assault weapon, because we said, well, we all know what an assault weapon is. Well, we knew what it was, but they didn't, but they said, it sounds bad, and we can make something of it. And the folks who wanted to ban them jumped all over it. We're thinking, well, hey, it's just a rifle. It works exactly the way Teddy Roosevelt's rifle worked. It's not a big deal. Well, little did we know how well the media could spin that out of control. And I'm looking at this and thinking, you know, I see this as being a big deal.
Well, I'd have to agree with you. I think you know, everything starts somewhere, and our industry and the firearms industry, and by the way, Benchmade really considers itself part of the shooting sports industry, outdoor sports.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen these things, this particular viewpoint go on, and it's very much ingrained. I mean, it's almost the parable of an elephant and a mouse. When you show people a 14-inch or a 10-inch chef's knife, they go, oh, it's beautiful, it balances so well, I love it. You show them a 2-inch folding knife with partial serrations, and they want to jump out of their seats. And it's interesting for me, being in the business, to just note these things on how did those perceptions come about and what is the difference. And as a professional, I look more and more into what do the statistics mean out there that some of our law enforcement agencies are relying on, and statistics, as we all know, can be misleading. We find that most problems with knives or that type of product are crimes of passion. And
mm-hmm.
When we're a responsible manufacturer, we build products that are safe. There's no accounting for I guess it would be just a passionate act.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a few years ago, a group of concerned industry members got together and started discussing a legislative group that would kind of bring our industry together and to help educate, promote, and inform. And after about a year and a half of talking at knife shows and trade shows, we got together and we created the American Knife and Tool Institute, and it's been a group of businesses that are very responsible, all employers, and just to get together to make sure that we can respond to this type of tactic in a way that is meaningful to our consumers and to all the constituents that we'll meet.
Well, it sounds like it's very similar to the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which is the industry group in the firearms world.
It is. And we've done things to kind of unite and get standardization, some terms and concepts, definitions on product, because there are so many laws that govern knives as part of, and they're inserted as other law that it's confusing, to say the very least, especially to a layman, and it's even more confusing sometimes to the professionals that attempt to interpret the laws and administer justice.
What's AKTI going to do at this point? I mean, or do they have a plan?
Well, the plan is first discussion. All the membership is being alerted. We're scheduling a conference, a teleconference, because of the nature that the factories and the people involved are scattered throughout the United States. We'll just get the input, and the best thing to do is to speak as a united industry, with one voice, and that's what we're working on now.
To your knowledge, have any of the knife companies, anybody in the industry responded directly to the Wall Street Journal?
No, I think, what we're doing is monitoring what's going on, and we'll make a decision based on the industry as a whole, rather than not be integrated.
Right. Well, you know, and for those that, again, people may not know that there are knife laws just as there are gun laws, and they change as you go from state to state and often from city to city. And,
right.
You know, what we would call an automatic knife, people call a switchblade, an automatic opener, legal some places, not legal other places. And what I see here, I think, is they want to categorize, they being the knife banning group now, want to categorize one-handed, easy opening, you know, utilitarian knives, useful knives, in that category of switchblades, evil things, you know, demonize them, if you will, like machine guns or whatever the gun banners do. And this is very much going to be a battle of terms. And I think your group, somebody's going to have to really get on top of this and figure out what the terms are and become aggressive. And I got to encourage you to try to do something fast, because this thing, once it gets ahead of you, once it spirals out ahead of you, it's very difficult to rein it back in. And the side that sets the terms, figures out what they're going to call all these things, has a huge advantage. So it's just been my experience in what's going on with guns. It is hard to do battle when they say, well, you've got a Saturday night special, and that's not good for anything. You've got an assault rifle, and that's not good for anything. You know, it goes on, junk guns. They're real good at defining terms, and if they start coming up with these terms, your group's got a real battle in front of it.
Well, I'd have to agree. The our industry has been around for as long as any other industry, pretty much in the United States, from the Industrial Revolution. And some of the knife laws that we're saddled with, that we have to work with, have been mandated, legislated, brought into effect, years ago. Many of the switchblade laws came up as a result of Hollywood and some of the the teenage gangster movies way back when.
Well, and in fact, some of them are based in racism.
That's right. And the issue that we're dealing with is many of the knife companies at that point let these things go by. And unfortunately, many of those companies are no longer in existence. However, the existing industry is vibrant, with a lot of very responsible people involved. The membership, by and large, of ACTI agree on,
yep,
on positioning. And
Les, let me just do this. I've got to run to a break here. I want to thank you. And Benchmade, if you don't have a Benchmade knife, check it out, benchmade.com. Les, we'll get you back on here when we know a little bit more about what's going on, and I sure appreciate you joining us. 866-TALK-GUNS. Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham here. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS. And yes, I was literally during the break cutting up my steak with my Benchmade knife. My assault knife, my tactical knife. Well, it has a black handle and a locking blade, and it's ergonomically designed. If you just joined us, what the heck is he talking about? Well, the Wall Street Journal ran an article this week, and it is essentially that what they did is they pulled out the old attack articles they've done about gun owners and gun laws and assault weapons and assault rifles and Saturday night specials and all the terms they come up with, junk guns, all of those, and they came up with tactical knives, and they just replaced knife and gun. And wow, people actually own knives that you can open with one hand, and these things have locking blades and ergonomically designed handles and serrated edges. And oh, and we just discovered that actually you can use a knife to kill somebody. Wow, I think Julius Caesar might have figured that thing out at some point. So what we've got is an article here where they're saying we need more regulation of knives. World's oldest tool. Been around probably since man's been around. Maybe before that, who knows. So I think what you're going to see is a rippling effect and more articles out there about knives and knife crime, and this spins directly from England, where they've been doing this for years. Let me bring in at this point a good friend of mine. Doug Ritter is a designer, a knife designer. He writes about knives. He is knowledgeable on all this. Hello, Doug. How are you?
Good morning, or I guess good afternoon, Tom.
You're in Arizona, so it's morning still where you are,
yep,
I guess.
Yep, just barely.
Okay. Well, you're the one that gave me the heads up. You knew I was at the Oshkosh fly-in. And you gave me a call and said, hey, let me tell you about this article. So you're the one that spotted this thing and started ringing the fire bell. Is anybody hearing this thing? What's going on?
Well, it certainly generated a lot of buzz in the knife world. Mm-hmm. I mean, this article, I think, serves as a wake-up call to knife owners and the knife industry. Up till now, the efforts to control knife ownership have largely been played out at the state level,
mm-hmm.
And the local level. And this raises the ante significantly, and I think a lot of people realize that.
Well, you're a media guy, so you understood immediately when you see it in the Wall Street Journal, that's a whole lot different from seeing it in the Peoria newspaper.
It's a whole nother level of this.
Well, we've been engaged on a wider battlefront, if you will.
Yes, and one of the things that occurred to me, and has occurred to some of the others that are around the industry, is that the industry has their organization,
mm-hmm.
Just like the gun industry has the National Shooting Sports Foundation. But there's really no equivalent to the NRA for knife owners.
So NRA being the group that represents the individual owners rather than the industry.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Okay, so you being a guy to not sit around when you see something that needs to be done, you've been busy this week.
I have been busy this week. We are forming what we're calling the United States Knife and Tool Association,
mm-hmm.
Emphasizing that knives are tools, man's oldest tool. And we've put up a website at uskta.org.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we're trying to see if there are enough people out there who care deeply enough about this to actually form an organization that we can grow and become a force with the kind of clout that's needed to defeat the sort of legislation that we expect to start appearing down the road.
I see that you have on your website, the website is uskta.org, a picture of the knife at the Wall Street Journal called Deadly. This is the Buck Metro?
The Buck Metro, which is essentially a bottle opener, can opener, cap lifter with a terribly deadly 1 1/8 inch blade.
It's basically a 1 inch blade.
Yep.
Holy moly. I mean, that's nothing. I have letter openers that are more dangerous than that.
Of course. It would be hilarious if it wasn't such a serious situation.
Well,
it would be funny, but it's not.
I should explain. You're a shooter also, so you know the history of firearms and the efforts of the gun controllers. And I imagine you had the same reaction I did. When you read the article, you thought, well, they just boilerplated this thing right out of the gun controller's handbook.
That's exactly it. And these sorts of articles don't just appear by magic.
Now, there's the point. That's the whole point. Go ahead.
This reporter was fed this article.
You bet.
By people who knew that they could trust this reporter to put the kind of spin on it that they wanted. This is the opening salvo of a much bigger front in this war.
This was an article generated by those who are seeking to put more laws restricting knife ownership and knife owners. And this was not generated by a reporter. This was a reporter who was doing PR work for an advocacy group.
That's exactly it. And I think gun owners need to understand that they have a significant stake in this battle. First of all, most gun owners I know are also knife owners, so that's a given. But even more than that, the gun control groups have been having a pretty bad time of it of late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been knocked down, knocked around. They're not really happy. Well, another way to attack the issue is go after something where you don't think you're going to have as much trouble.
Sure, yeah, and somebody can raise money with this, which is really what it's all about. Tell you what, Doug, hold on just a second. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. If you'd like to weigh in on this, by all means, give us a shout at 866-TALK-GUNS. If you want to visit the website he mentioned, it's uskta.org, uskta.org. Knife control, knife crime. I know you think it sounds silly. It's not. Hey, I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back. To hit the target, you have to see the sights, right? Well, standard handgun sights were designed for target shooters. Well, that's great when you have plenty of time. But if you use your handgun for action shooting games or for personal protection, you need sights that are fast. That's the idea behind XS Sights 24/7 Express Sights. They look like the sights on dangerous game rifles, and they work the same way. A glowing front sight automatically leaps into the shallow V rear sight, which features a tritium glow-in-the-dark insert. Just bring the gun up, and the sights seem to find the target on their own. Available for most handgun models, the 24/7 Express Sights can make almost any shooter faster. Whether you're shooting in full light, half light, or low light, you'll see these sights, and you'll be on target fast. See for yourself at XSSights.com. That's XSSights.com or call 888-744-4880 for a free catalog. And tell them Tom Gresham sent you.
You know, a friend of mine once told me he thought target shooting sounded kind of boring. Try knocking down targets and reloading when you're flying full tilt through a field course. Now that's a total rush. Not what you expected? Then give shooting a try.
Find out how, where to get started, and much more at huntandshoot.org.
Hey, 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 welcome to Gun Talk. I tell you what, we're talking with Doug Ritter, and Doug's a good friend of mine. And you may know Doug from his other website, equipped.org, an expert in survival, survival tools, survival kits, that type of thing. And in the process of that, Doug, you figured out that while there are a lot of good knives, there were some features that you didn't find in the knives that are out there, so you designed your own.
Well, you know, sometimes you see a niche and you figure you got to fill it.
Okay.
But that perhaps adds to my my personal involvement in this whole issue of knife control. Take that, my interest in firearms and survival in general, and it gives you the passion you need, I think, to go out and try to do something and make a difference.
Well, you know, a knife is a great tool. It's incredibly useful, whether you're opening the box that just came from UPS, you know, slicing your steak as I was just doing, or literally defending your life, or trying to survive out in the wild.
It's man's fundamental tool. After your brain, it's the tool you want when you go out to survive. There's nothing more fundamental than the ability to slice something.
There you go.
That's something.
Tell you what, hold on just a second here. I'm going to bring in Troy. We got a caller from on line three. He's in Changaloo, Louisiana. Hello, Troy. You're on Gun Talk.
Hello, Mr. Gresham. I have a couple of comments I would like to make.
Sure.
I have been hunting since the age of six, never had the desire to shoot any one person. I've also been using hunting knives that entire length of time, and was an EMT for many years on a fire district, and I've worked several murders, and those murders were never committed with a hunting knife. One of them was with a butcher knife, one of them was with a paring knife, and one of them was with a baseball bat. So my question is when will all this, you know, sooner or later you need to outlaw baseball bats?
Well,
just blows my mind that these liberals are doing what they're doing.
You make an excellent point. Doug, you have followed the what's going on over in England, and they actually do have and talk openly about we need more knife control, don't they?
Yes, it's interesting that the gentleman mentioned kitchen knives, because there is a movement afoot in England. I could not make this up if I tried.
I know it sounds silly, but go ahead and tell them.
To outlaw points on kitchen knives.
All kitchen knives would have to have blunt or rounded points. Exactly.
Yes. Now, I mean, in England, you already cannot have the safety of a locking blade or the safety of a one-hand opening blade. It is already illegal to carry a knife, any knife, unless you have a good reason to have it. And guess who decides whether your reason is good or not?
Let me guess. It's the police.
That's it.
So you can't even, I mean, if I go to England, I can't carry a pocket knife around.
You might get away with carrying a little Swiss Army knife, but that's about it.
Man.
And if they want to make an issue of it,
mm-hmm.
and you're dressed in a suit and you have a Swiss Army knife, they can.
Wow.
You have no good reason to carry a knife.
Well, that's it. You didn't say, Mother, may I?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess the point here is that there are people, I know there are a lot of people thinking, why are you guys making such a big deal out of this? Well, we have seen what happens. We've seen where this starts. And I got to tell you, I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable saying there's a conspiracy or there's one group or something, but there's something going on out there. I don't know what it is, but it seems to come from the same people, and it seems to come from the same places, and it all comes out of the same playbook, whether they're wanting to ban or regulate guns or ban or regulate knives or ban or regulate any other aspect of freedom and the way we live. I don't know where it comes from, but the point here is you got to pay attention to it. Now, tell us a little bit more about this group that you're forming, Doug.
Well, we look at the USKTA as becoming the equivalent of the NRA for knife owners.
Mm-hmm.
When legislators introduce legislation to control knife ownership, the most effective weapon we have is votes. And the only way you organize those votes is the same way that the NRA does. You form a large organization of people who can write letters, who can influence politicians. Politicians care about votes.
That's right. You may say that politicians are no good at anything, but they are awfully good at counting.
You bet.
They can do that. Okay, so what's the deal? How does this new group work?
Well, right now we are collecting email addresses from people who are interested in joining us. We are literally in the formative stages.
This group is less than a week old.
Yes.
Okay.
Less than a week old. We still have to incorporate. We still have to decide what membership dues will be and that sort of thing. But right now we need to decide if there are, in fact, enough people out there who actually give a damn about this subject. Because a lot of people will tell us, knife owners are apathetic.
Hey, we just got two people in the control room here who just raised their hands. They're there.
Yeah. We need you. We need all of you to come on board so that when the politicians start screaming, we have the means to make a difference. And that means comes from numbers.
And right now, the most effective way for you to collect all of this, obviously, is through the Internet because
yes.
it's quick, it's easy. All people, at this point, are you asking for money?
Nope. All we want to know is there's enough people out there that makes this financially viable, because in order to run an organization like this, you have to have a critical mass of people so that you can put the organization in place to grow the organization.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't happen overnight, but we need to start someplace, and this is where we need to start. This article should be a call to arms for anybody who cares about knives and anyone who cares about guns, because let me tell you, once they control knives, then it's easy for them to say, look, we've already decided that these horrible knives are terrible weapons that can kill people.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing letting people run around with even deadlier guns?
Sure. It's an entry. This is a gateway drug. It is. This is the gateway drug for gun banners to slide in. And for anybody who's thinking, well, it's not a big deal, I don't carry a knife, do you have a knife in your kitchen? Hello? I mean, these are folks who want to put rounded points on kitchen knives, and I'll guarantee you, they don't want you to cut yourself, so they may regulate that you can't have your knives be sharp.
There are always extremes, but these are people who believe in extremes. As hard as it is for us who grew up with knives, grew up with firearms, to fathom, these people hate these horrible tools. They hate them with a passion. Love them with a passion.
They hate us having freedom, and they hate us being able to do things that they can't control. And they take it out with the knives and the guns, and of course the end is the same. Hold on a second, Doug. 866-TALK-GUNS. 866-TALK-GUNS. Talk Guns. I'm Tom Gresham, and this is Gun Talk. You know, when knives are outlawed, only... Well, yeah, we know. Okay. Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham here. We're talking with Doug Ritter, R-I-T-T-E-R, if you don't know. If you don't know who Doug is, go to his website, equipped.org, and you'll find out an awful lot about him. Innovative guy and quite the bulldog. Doug, and I mean that in the nicest way. When you find something needs to be fixed, you dive right into it, man.
Well, nobody ever accused me of being reticent to enter a fight, that's for sure.
This is true. Okay, so you've got the United States Knife and Tool Association, and at this point, we've had this huge salvo, the Wall Street Journal's article, essentially calling for knife control. They're saying these things are unregulated. And we're talking pocket knives. I mean, come on. And so you said, well, we need a group that's kind of like the NRA, and you've got the USKTA, and at this point, you're just trying to find out if anybody's interested.
That's exactly it. You can't accomplish the sorts of things that we want to accomplish if you haven't got thousands and tens of thousands of members.
Yep.
We know there are millions upon millions of knife owners out there. We know there are millions of members of the NRA that all, for most all of them, own knives. This is as important or should be as important to them as the fight against gun control, because ultimately that's what this is all about.
This is a new
front.
Yes.
In the war on guns.
Exactly. Tell you what, let's take another call. Don is in Wasilla on line 5. Hey, Don, you're on Gun Talk.
Oh, Tom, first I'd like to thank you for all the things you do for us free people out here in the world today. And first off, I'd like to say that it was a pretty sad day when a man couldn't even get on an airplane to go visit his family in the lower 48, being up here in Alaska for all these years and happened to leave his pocket knife behind. It was a second-generation pocket knife handed down to him from his father, you know.
I know.
And, man, I don't know where it's going to stop at. You think with all the problems in the world today there, Tom, that somebody would have a better way of fixing the problems without making more.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Don. Thanks for the call. I don't think they're actually trying to fix any problems. They've got some other agenda. Doug, do you have any thoughts, any ideas of what this agenda is?
I think the agenda is pretty straightforward. I think that, as we've seen in other countries, they know that by controlling and taking away our freedoms to own knives, this is a open book to controlling and taking away our freedom to carry guns. It is just a natural progression. They haven't been successful in controlling guns in this country. The last few years have been provided terrible setbacks to the gun control people. They need some victories.
Mm-hmm.
They look out there and they see knives and they don't see an NRA.
And
they don't see the kind of battle that they've had to fight. This is easy pickings when they look out there.
And they see what's happened in England. They say, wow, the English have been able to get knife control, can't carry a pocket knife. You know, now they want kitchen knives with no points on them. They say, we could probably just use the same thing here.
Exactly it.
Well, is there any thought? I mean, would the NRA ever get involved in this, do you think?
You know, the NRA has an awful lot on its plate. And I would expect that the USKTA would cooperate with the NRA because ultimately our aims are related. You know, the more people that are involved, the more effective you are.
Mm-hmm.
Both groups play off the same concerns of protecting our freedoms. But the NRA doesn't have time to fight this battle.
Yeah, and that's why
they've got enough on their plate.
Yeah, you need a different group that can just specifically handle this one and still use the lessons learned in the fight for gun control, because now we know what works.
We have a great game plan. The NRA, the National Shooting Sports Foundation,
they've
learned the hard way and the expensive way.
They've left a lot of blood on the battlefield there. Doug, hold on a second. We'll take another quick break. We'll come back talking with Doug Ritter from the newly formed, and I do mean brand newly formed, United States Knife and Tool Association on the web, USKTA.org. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk.